Hello, everybody. This is Louis Vitale. I'm here with Sequestered Stories. Basically, what the show is about is telling the stories of everyday people, not just the people you see in the movies or on the internet or on TV, or the people that have interesting things to say or have interesting stories, whether it be a particular story or just their story in general, where they are in life, how they made it. So today we have Chris Yambo. He's a young, early 20s entrepreneur. He's got his hands in a lot of different things. Really motivated guy. And he's going to be a fun dude to talk to, hopefully.
So, hey, how you doing, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing real well. What's going on? It's
Friday night. Memorial Day weekend.
That's right. I don't work on Monday.
Oh, yeah, me either. Because we work at the same place.
Hey. So what's up, man? What you want to talk about?
I got you here, so let's talk about you, man. Let's talk about your story. No.
Yeah.
You know, dude, you are just, you got so many things going on. I mean, I see the way you come into work some days. You're so tired. You tell me this thing, you up to 4 a.m. doing this, doing that.
Yeah.
Promoting this. I mean, so tell us a little bit about some of the businesses you currently have or that you have had. Tell us your shit.
All right, cool, man. I think I started, my first job was DJing at 13 years old. That's getting paid to DJ. My first little party that I did was my cousin's Sweet 16, her quinceañera, so Sweet 15. And I was just playing with the radio. So they would just throw the music on a CD player in a big radio system, and I would just lower the volume and raise the volume and lower the volume and raise the volume. Scream when I wanted everybody to listen, you know, so I felt like I was the MC of the party. And after that, my big cousin, she was like, yo, that was really cool, thank you for doing that. My whole family loved it, and I was like, I gotta do this for a living. So I thought that would be what I would be doing for the rest of my life, is DJing. But DJing is really, really hard. I'm great at it, you know, but I'm not the best. So I didn't stick to that. I still DJ every now and again, but it's not something I go out there and advertise because it's real time consuming and I got so many, like you said, so many other things. From there, I began rapping. And again, another thing that I was really good at, I was really good at it and then I just stopped because of girls. You know, girls.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I've heard that story too many times, unfortunately. Yeah.
Girls. Anywho.
Uh-huh. Therefore, you know, girls, that's such a broad answer. Like, what the heck happened?
Having a girlfriend, you know, is wanting to end up spending time with them, thinking this is the love of my life, I'm gonna be with them forever. And I wasn't with them forever. I haven't talked to them in like 6 years. But I thought, you know, that was the one, you know, the one that likes me. Oh, I'm never gonna find no one like her.
So she gave you the act, oh, you know, you're not spending time with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. Why are you doing all your rapping so much? Like, what about our time?
Yeah. And not only that, she wasn't even that much of a fan of my music. She likes Spanish music. So I couldn't rap Spanish because my Spanish is a joke. You know, like I talk Spanish only to my grandma. If not, I sound like Justin Bieber when he's singing that Despacito song. He'd be like, blah, blah, blah. That's pretty much how I sound.
Yeah.
So,
Well, yeah. You know what? That's what you get when you get an immature girl, because I guarantee you, if you meet like an ambitious girl right now,
yeah,
and you were rapping or whatever, doing your thing that you like to do, she would, you know, if you met a real good girl, she would be telling you to do that more.
Yeah.
You know, because
and that's now, that was back in high school, seven years ago, you know, but now I know better. I try to get back into rapping every couple months. I hear a beat and I'm like, damn, my old me would do really good at it, but.
Well, before the end of this podcast, we're going to have to put on an instrumental and just at least like four bars just to see if you're all talk.
Yeah, no, I am all talk.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm all talk. You could check me out on SoundCloud, but no, I'm just kidding. I ended up putting it out. The real reason why I stopped was because I didn't want to put any money into it. Because as a kid, you know, I was only working at McDonald's. I already spent all my McDonald's money on equipment. I bought a computer, bought a Mac. I bought microphones, stands, Pro Tools, all of that. And I didn't know how to mix my stuff because I was learning by myself. And back then, YouTube wasn't the biggest thing in the world. YouTube was big, But it wasn't something I was like, I want to learn from a real person. I don't want to learn from these random people on the internet, you know. So I didn't learn much, you know. It was trial and error, raising volumes and vocals, adding auto tunes or whatever, even though I didn't really use it. And the quality was all over the place. So I never really released it. What I used to do was just hand it out to my friends for birthdays and, you know, gifts and, hey, happy graduation. Here's my mixtape. I'm going to sign it because one day I'm going to be famous, you know, and it was stuff like
that. Oh, I'm sure they love that. Oh, instead of a $25 gift card, I give you my CD, man.
Oh, yeah, No, they don't understand. They knew because they heard it and they were like, Chris, you're really good. I guaranteed I was the best rapper in my school. I don't care what nobody said. In high school and middle school, I was the best. And if I knew you then and we worked together, then you were up there with me. But I was the best.
Wow.
That's the only time that I will confidently say that I was good at something. I don't think I'm the best DJ. I don't think I'm the best, you know, at anything. I was amazing at rapping.
And I believe it because you are such a humble guy.
I try.
You never say, like, blatantly say you're good at anything.
Yeah.
This is the single thing that I've ever heard you say you're, like, good at. And you're good at a lot of things, but you don't say it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's just because I loved it. Like, I go back and listen to my remix of I'm Sprung, or I listen to, you know, anything. My mixtape was called Everybody Hates Chris, which, you know, was true, but also was a play on the TV show. But
great show, by the way. Yeah, Terry Crews.
I loved it. I just loved rapping. And it sucked that I stopped, but I thought I was, you know, being that good guy, you know. I was doing something for my girl. You know, this is what any normal guy would do, you know, is spend more time with them. Because why have a girlfriend if you don't spend no time with them? And I'm still that, you know, put my girl over anything kind of guy still. So, you know, that's how that went. From there, I stopped rapping for a couple years. Broke up with that girl, ended up dating another girl. We've been together for 4.5 years. And during that time, I DJed every once in a while, but I wanted to get back into music. Rapping wasn't the way to get back into music because I sucked. So I began to get all my old friends to give me music. Hey, man, I know you used to rap. Check out my rap. So I would check it out, and I'd be like, okay, cool. That's a good rap. Everything else sucks. Or, yo, man, stop rapping completely because it all sucks. And I've told people that because the problem that I found was that everybody that was around these people would be like, that is the best song ever. Yo, you're amazing. You're the next 50 Cent. You're the next, you know, Jay-Z. And these guys are garbage.
Yeah.
And that's the problem you find locally. A lot of these artists suck.
Dude, that is a real big problem, not only in the rap game or the music industry, but just in general in life when you have people that are close to you that are coddling you and they're telling you you're so great at this and that, but you're never out there actually competing against your peers.
Yeah.
So you don't really know how good you are until you do compete against your peers. But, you know, to have, you know, an outlet where you can send your music, where someone is going to be honest to you.
Yeah.
And tell you, not just, you know, I mean, I'm sure you didn't just say that you suck, like give up, but you said, yeah, well, it sucked, but, you know, I could tell
for
you.
For
this reason, yeah, exactly. You had constructive criticism.
And that was the only way that I liked it. And that was one of the reasons why I stopped rapping, is because the girlfriend at the time was like, you know, this sucked because of the quality, and there was nothing I could ever do about that. So I was just like, all right, until I get my quality right, until I feel like I want to put money into rapping, I'm just not going to rap. And I ended up never putting money into it and never rapping again. But yeah, so I started that, and it was a blog, and I would have friends give me their music. Yo, I made a 7-8 song CD, check it out. And I would write about it and I would post it on the internet. And it was a blog called We Cosigners. And I started that December of 2015. And from there, I went to a show, like, you know, a local show that apparently they do a lot of around here, but my entire life, I didn't know. Had I known there were showcases when I was rapping, may not have stopped because I would have been doing these shows and rapping and feeling everybody's vibe. And I was just like, oh, you know, at that time, nobody that I knew was doing shows and showcases and stuff. So I was like, oh, no one's ever going to hear my music unless I'm just giving it to people. And I'm not going to sell it to people because these people don't know me. So why would they support me if they would be supporting a nobody? Right. That was my train of thought. And apparently, people support people just because they feel like, I'm at least giving this guy a dollar or two. You know, maybe one day he gets big and then I'll feel like I helped him.
So what is it? It's like a a public show that these upcoming rappers go to. They perform, and the audience donates money, essentially.
Well, no, the audience goes in, like, if they're going to go see 50 Cent or T.I. or somebody.
Okay, and they pay a cover?
They pay a ticket, they pay a cover, okay. They go and watch 12, 13 performers perform. Some of them are good, some of them suck. Most of the ones that are consistently doing it around here that I've noticed now are amazing. There are some talented people around here. And that's what inspired me to continue on writing these blogs. I wrote about 28 blogs in the span of 30 days. Like, I was every day, I had to have one out every single day. I was consistent with it. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I got writer's block. After 28, and I was doing it by myself, I didn't have time to listen to 18 track, you know, CDs and all of that. And then my writing was getting bad. My grammar, just like the way I talk, isn't the best. You know, I'm very articulate and, you know, I say big words and I try to sound as professional as I can. But when I'm writing, I write like I'm talking to a friend. So it's like, hey, bro, what's up? This song right here was whack, but you already know that and it doesn't translate well when mm-hmm. you're reading it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't universally accepted by everybody. You know, my dad would read it and be like, why are you writing like this? But that's, you know, how I talked. And that was the audience that I was trying to get, you know?
I mean, it's not that it's too late now, but in retrospect, do you think if you did something more of a video or an audio, yep. where instead of writing, you know, your critique or whatever it was, just kind of just talking about it,
yep,
that probably would have translated a lot better.
And that's what I'm doing now. And from there, from writing those blogs, I got a person, random person from Georgia, sent me music. Hey, I heard about you. Check out my CD. I sent it. He sent it. I listened. I put a review. He didn't get a cosign. Not from me. I didn't like his music. And we're friends on Facebook. We don't talk much, but he added me on Facebook. That's how we met. And that's how we interacted. And yeah, that was one of the first ones that I said no to.
What was the friend request on Facebook before or after?
The friend request was before.
You didn't cosign him.
It was before. He okay. was like, hey, man, I heard about you. I think what you're doing is dope. Check out my music. You're going to love it. And there were some tracks in there that were good. Most of them were not. So some of the quality was there. But as a person, those people were talented. Those guys, they were, you know, passionate. They built an entire studio by hand, you know, like a booth and everything. Mm-hmm. They were really cool people. And so I liked them for that. But I didn't like the CD that
they submitted. So you weren't just going to, basically, you weren't just going to co-sign. The name of the company was Co-Signers. The
idea is,
you know, after you critique it, if you really like it, then you get their, you basically give them your stamp of approval.
Yep.
I co-signed this. But you weren't just giving that out willy-nilly. You had integrity with it.
That's right.
And so there were people that you did not give that to.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's awesome.
The idea was we co-signers. So I wanted it to be, it wasn't me co-signers. It wasn't I co-sign. It was we. So I wanted the audience to co-sign. So every time I posted my review, I would review song by song. And then from there, I would ask the audience to co-sign as well. Listen to the song, you know, and that was a way for the artist to get played. Mm-hmm. You know, all the people that listened. And apparently, when I looked at my analytics, I had people in New Zealand reading. I had people in Australia and Africa. One of the biggest markets was Brazil. And I would post that on Instagram because, you know, people won't believe that. But I would take screenshots and post them, and, you know, people were like, wow, people are actually reading this. And I was shocked myself. I thought only locals would read it. But I didn't know anybody locally in the music scene anyway. You know, I just started this all willy-nilly again. I didn't know that there were these showcases. So what happened was, you know, I was a fake manager for one of my friends who rapped. And, you know, I would just tell him stuff. And, hey, man, go over here. Hey, man, I think you should do this. I was his biggest co-signer, you know. I would tell him all the time, yo, this song's not good, this song's great, do this. I sent him off one time. Well, I told him about a showcase in Orlando. He went over there, he met a couple people that worked in Tampa, he started doing shows. So to support him, I went out to one of his shows and I wrote a review about that show. And I met, you know, there were like 17 other artists on the thing, and I wrote about all of them. Then that, you know, that was great. A lot of people liked it and read it. But then I realized, I'm like, I want some photos. I want something that works with this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I went, I got my phone camera, and I started taking pictures. I didn't get my phone camera. I got a T3i camera that I had years ago when I wanted to be a videographer. That lasted a day and a half, which is why I didn't really speak on it. But I still had that camera that I spent $350 on Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
And I took those pictures, and I posted them. And the artists that read the reviews were like, I love that photo. Can I take it? And it was a regular photo, you know, just a candid photo. And I sent it to them. And then next time I went, I took photos and I was thinking, these people really like them. Let me charge. You know, I wasn't trying to be greedy. It was, I was paying out of pocket for these tickets. Let me at least reimburse myself for these tickets and the gas and whatever that I'm doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, cause that's the thing. Every time I talk or think about money, I always feel like I'm greedy with it, but that's in my head. But you know,
not at all, man. It's a business.
Exactly. At the same time, I've got to think of it like a business, cause I got a business mindset, but at the same time, I got a mindset that's like, I don't want to be begging people, you know, it's contradictory, which you'll hear a lot. I'm a very contradictory person, I've been told, by girls. And, but so those videos and photos ended up turning into videos because they were like, oh, I want to see myself perform. They went into videos. From there, I met a guy at my current job that was a video director. And he wrote a TV show, like a little YouTube show. And he wanted me to act in it. Well, I begged to act in it because I wanted to act. Mm-hmm. And so I went from there. I met his videographer. And I told him, I'm like, listen, man, I know we're acting and doing this together, but can I steal your videographer to help me on these showcases? Because there were maybe two a day, you know, or two a week or something, or two at a time. And he was like, sure, man, you know, he don't got nothing going on and I don't need him every day. So I got that guy and me and him started going to these shows. He's a way better photographer than I am. Like, he's a professional. So he started doing that and charging, and we started making money. And from there, we started shooting music videos. And from those videos, I got the concept that I've always wanted to do, which was expand out of We Co-Signers, where I wanted to interview artists. You know, I wanted them to feel like they're celebrities, because local artists will not get that opportunity to be on Y94.1 Y94.1 to be on, you know, Sirius Radio, to be on Power 106, to be on Hot 97. Mm-hmm. You know, chances are they're not, especially if they're whack. So my eyes, I was like, I just want to interview these people as if I was one of these celebrity, you know, interviewers. Let's talk to them for a little bit, get to know them, why they wanted to start rapping. And I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, we're taking pictures and videos. Would you like to do this? You won't get paid, but we'll do this and eventually YouTube revenue or whatever, you know, and get money eventually.
Yeah.
So he was like, let's do it. So we started that. I did it again with my friend that I was doing the showcases. He was episode number 3, but he was the first one we recorded. Then my other boy that I recorded, Everybody Hates Chris with, was episode number 2, or the second one we recorded, but he ended up being episode number 1. And then from there, I started talking to these people at these showcases that I went to, and I was just randomly giving them business cards. Hey, I know I don't know you. I know that you don't know me, but I got a show that I'm trying to do, and I would love to talk to you about it. And they were like, yeah. We had one person say no. And that one kind of sucked because I thought that she was, you know, pretty talented and we didn't have many girls. But she didn't like it. She wasn't about it. She didn't know. You know, she didn't get our vision. So she said no. And
I don't understand. Why would she say no? Like,
well, because she was big. You know,
locally. Oh, okay. She was already established.
Locally, she felt more established than maybe other people would. You know, so she her manager told us no. And we ended up working with her manager later, but not her. Again, no offense. I see her around. I like her. I dance to her music. I tell her all the time. I go up. You know, I'm never hurt about this kind of stuff. And I hope that they're never hurt if I didn't give them the cosign either. Because I like these people's drive. You know, even though their music might not be the best, some people are really driven. Now, there's other people that they feel like, oh, I'm going to just tag all my friends on Facebook and get a bunch of likes. Or I'm going to spend $100 to buy all these listens. And I'm going to do this and cheat the system and try to act like I'm famous, more famous than I am. Those are the people I don't respect. You know, those are people I don't really talk to. I don't really work with. And again,
that's the worst too. Yeah. That is the worst. When I get bombarded with like Facebook requests to come out to my show.
Yeah. Or getting tagged for no reason. And then all the other people that are tagged that want to be tagged will comment. And then I keep getting those notifications. And, you know, that kind of stuff ended up happening. So after the show finished, we put 12 episodes out, one a week during the entire summer. Started first day of summer, ended the first day before school started. And after that, I was like, okay, this is great. These episodes range from 15 minutes to half an hour, but the views weren't there. We got average, maybe 40, 50 views. And that was kind of demoralizing because we put a lot of work into it. But from there, we ended up booking a music video. And that's hard, too, because without something to show, nobody's going to want to work with you. Like, we didn't have a portfolio. Mm-hmm. So we finally got somebody that wanted to do a video with us, and we put our ad, we worked our ass off, you know? So when we ended up doing that, that video came out amazing. Everyone loved it. That video got 1,000-something views on Facebook alone, you know, not counting YouTube and all that. Wow. And we're thinking that would, you know, make us, we're famous now. We're going to get a bunch of them. That didn't happen. And that's what we're learning, you know. Everything that we're doing is little by little. You don't, nobody's ever going to, you know, just wake up and overnight success.
No.
So that's something that I'm always learning. And it's not that I didn't know it before, but to see it in person, to do that much work, to try that hard, to mm-hmm. not get the pay, to not get the views, you know, that's something that I really want people to know, is no matter how hard you work, you might not get the credit, but you have to keep on going. Because if you don't put that hard work, like if you're getting paid $1 million, you will never make $1 million, you know, because you're going to end up half-assing it. Oh, I'm only getting $50 for this. I'm not going to do my best. You don't do your best, you're only going to be worth $50 for the rest of your life, you know? So that's the way I think of it. So
I totally agree with that mentality. Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot. I mean, you got to be consistent with the things you put out in terms of how much, and consistent in terms of the quality of it.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of hard work to really break through.
And people don't want to do it. People will be, you know, spend $1 million, spend a couple thousand dollars on equipment, on shirts, on gold chains and all this, and then they won't work on their stage presence. They won't work on their show. They won't work on, you know, how they sound. You know, they'll just rap monotone or do this or that. They're not working on themselves. They're working on their image, and that's backwards. You know, you got to work on yourself first. The image will come after. Mm-hmm. I know people that are extremely successful here. They don't walk around with gold chains. They don't walk around in a Bugatti.
No.
And I've gone to their house to record with them and, you know, record videos and whatever. And they got me fooled. I'm thinking they're a big deal. And then we go to their house. They look like my house. It looks like my apartment. We're just regular people, but they make themselves seem like they're bigger than life.
That's funny. I saw a picture of Jay-Z when it was two pictures side by side. One of them was when he was worth $100,000.
Yeah.
He was decked out with gold chains, with the watch, you know, trying to look as flashy as possible.
Yeah.
Then it was a picture when he was worth, like, you know,
$1 billion,
$40 million or whatever, $400 million probably. Mm-hmm. And he's dressed super conservative, you know, not conservative, but, you know, sure, like a regular person.
No,
you know,
chains, maybe one chain, you know, no flashy rings, and he's not wearing the biggest glasses. You have people like Mark Zuckerberg and Mike Zuckerberg or whatever his name is, and Bill Gates, Mark and
all the billionaires, the Apple guy. I mean, all the
they
really
wear the
rich
same
people.
3-4 outfits, you know, and that's the mindset you got to be in. You don't want to spend, and me, I'm wearing shoes 24/7, I got holes in them, and it's not because I'm broke. I got money, but I'm not going to spend $300 on Yeezys to, you know, walk from here to work or to go from here to a showcase. Why do that now when in the back end I could use that $300 for another microphone or for, you know, something else that I'm doing, or for I could pay writers for We Co-signers or something like that. So that's always my mindset.
It's always where your priorities are.
Exactly.
Someone said that, show me where you spend your money and I'll show you what you care about or where your priorities are. Mm-hmm. So you're spending money on sneakers instead of, you know, something more important.
I need to buy sneakers because, man, I'm getting tired of that squeaky sound that my Air Maxes be making because that little hole broke. But that's a whole different story. So after that, I decided I wanted to do more stuff, but since I can't record and edit, I decided what I can do is I know how to record. I can't record and edit video, but I know how to record audio. I did it when I recorded my mixtape. So I decided, why not start a podcast? And why not start a podcast network? Only because I want to be able to be more on the back end of stuff. I want to be the person who helps other people get their topics of conversation, get their talent out. Because I know some talented people that got a great voice, that got great stories, that have great personalities. And they're just, you know, working a 9-to-5. They're doing nothing. They don't have those aspirations. So I go to them and I'm like, listen, man, when we talk, you have great stories. I know about your travels. I know about your life. That's an inspiring story. So like you said that I'm inspired by those people. And I'd love if those people have – you know, an outlet to showcase that. So I told him, I'm like, I'll invest all the money up front, buying all this equipment. I'll go to you. All you got to do is be consistent with me one time a week, record, and we'll release it. And little by little, your story gets out there. You become like a little personality, and we'll all have fun. And if we never make any money, you have a record of stories that you told. You have something to showcase somebody. You know, you have something that you'll be able to say, I did this. You know, I was there in the beginning. It didn't go nowhere, or it went somewhere. You know, because all these people get one breakout and they become something. But it wasn't an overnight breakout. It was years of trial and error.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do now. So currently,
it's hard, man. It's so hard finding people that are in it for the long haul.
People are not.
You may get someone that shows up for a night, for a day, maybe twice, maybe three times.
Yeah.
But to have someone come week after week over and over again, people just, they just don't want to do it.
They realize that, like, there's no, oh, the first week is fun. The second week is like, okay, now I'm getting better. Third week, I'm perfecting it. Fourth week, I want to see some money. Oh, but there's no money. All right, fifth week, I'm depressed. Sixth week, I'm tired. Seventh week, oh, well, my friend wants to go party. I'm going to go party with them real quick because I'm not doing nothing here. And then after that, it all breaks down. So within 2 or 3 months, that's how you could tell if somebody's really there for something.
Well, first of all, if you're going into podcasting and thinking that you're going to make money in 4 weeks, you're a complete idiot and you're ill-informed and you should do your homework.
Because and a lot of people don't listen to podcasts. It takes maybe
more than 4 years.
Yeah.
It's easily more than 4 years. Yeah. I mean, there's people that are actually famous that are recognized, that are well-known, that still barely scratch the surface on how much money they make.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to be realistic.
And that's the thing. People have a mindset of getting rich quick overnight, whether it comes to rapping, whether it comes to artists that draw, whether it comes to anything. You know, they want to be that overnight success. And I've said it already 4 times within half an hour, but that's the biggest problem with people. And I want to give them that outlet and be like, hey, if you're not an overnight success, you could take your 5-10 audio tracks that you recorded, keep them forever, have some fun, enjoy them, listen to them back in the day. And then once I'm blowing up, because somebody was dedicated enough to record with me for 2-3 years, and now we're going somewhere, then you could have your little 4 or 5 and you could be like, I worked with him in the beginning. But that's all you could ever say, because you're not going to get, you know, that's, it's not going to work for you because you wasn't there. You wasn't driven. You always gave me excuses. Mm-hmm. One thing I hate is excuses. And, you know, when people are like, hey, man, I'm feeling sick. We work together. When am I not at work? I'm always at work.
Chris, you're at work too much to the point where our managers have to tell you to go home because you're so sick.
Yeah.
That you're coughing on everybody. And we're like, yeah, come on, dude, get out of here.
But that's the way I work, bro. It's like a mindset. I get that from my dad. He's over there. He works 7 days a week. You know, he's been working 7 days a week since I was, I don't know, 5. My mom works overnight. You know, so I just got that workaholic mentality. And people always tell me, you need a vacation, you need a trip, you know, why not go and travel, why not go and do this? But the way my mind works is, if I'm out there traveling, or I'm out there spending money, or I'm out, you know, taking a day off to sit at home doing nothing, that's a waste of money. You know, I stay home, and I don't travel, I don't do nothing, but I stayed home all day. Even though it's PTO, I could have made double the money by doing something on the side. You know, take a day off at real work, then mow a lawn or something and get $80 or $40 or whatever. I just made double the money that I would have made that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get $80 a day, but I'm saying, like, I got $40 more than I would have got. You know, if I'm out and I take a vacation and I travel to Mumbai or something, then guess what? I'm spending mad money on all this stuff. I'm losing money. That's my mindset, and it's a horrible mindset, and I tell myself that all the time.
You definitely have to have some time where you can just relax.
Yeah.
I mean, because it just, it makes you better, first of all. It de-stresses you. It kind of hits the reset button, and then it makes you appreciate work again, you know, in a way, to step away from it for a little bit and then to get back into it, you know. But, I mean, dude, you got to love the hustle, man.
Yeah.
You just don't stop, man.
I really do, man. Like, it's not only this network that I'm trying to build here. You know, I want this to grow out and become, you know, I want merchandise. Every show, I want them to have something to sell, something to give out, something to their supporters to go out there and be running billboards, wearing their shirts. Hey, you know, here's a sequestered stories. Here's, you know, Unlikely Geeks, here's Game Rage, here's this, here's that. I want people to, you know, how was work? So how was work?
So what he's talking about is the other podcasts on the network right now. So if you want to get into those for a quick sec.
Right now we are recording. I'm recording four. I had six planned. One of them, fell through and it wasn't bad. It actually turned out to be your podcast. It was supposed to be a sports one. And that ended up being this.
I'm just not into sports as much, really. I follow my Yankees, but other than that, I mean, you go back, rewind 3 years, and I'm like knee deep in watching SportsCenter two times a day, and now I just don't give a fuck. Honestly.
Yeah, that happens, man. That was the same way when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. It was a year or two after we moved here. I was a Bucs fan, you know, and I knew all the Buccaneers names. You know, I knew everything about Gruden or all this, and then. After they won, they dispersed, and I was like, I'm dispersing too. And I'm a huge Giants fan, but I'm not as heavy into the Giants as I was heavy into the Bucks when I was younger, just because I was here, it was new. You know, I'm a Yankee fan and all that, but I don't know nothing about sports. If you want to talk boxing, I could talk boxing all day, but that's the only sport I follow because there's only one person to follow. I don't need to follow, you know, I follow my favorite boxers. I don't need to follow 11 players.
Who's your favorite boxer? Coach.
Oh, damn.
You said it's like you had a favorite boxer.
Well, I follow a lot of boxers. There's a lot of favorites for different reasons.
All right, so name some of your favorites.
There's Canelo, there's Cotto, like the Hispanic boxers. I love I didn't really like Mayweather as much as most do, only because of his style of fighting was real, you know, polarizing. He was really running most of the time. Now, business-wise, one of the best. I love him. You know, defense and all that's great. People are going to kill me for saying what I just said. But I really, truly feel like every time I would be hype, I bought every one of his fights. I would invite my whole family to my house, you know, my parents' house to watch. But it was always the undercards were better because they were more action-packed. Mm-hmm. There's a heavyweight fighter that I saw fight a year or two ago that I love. And I don't remember his name now. I think it's, I just can't remember. Oh, Keith Thurman's one of my favorites. Danny Garcia.
Never heard of him.
Keith Thurman's from Clearwater. Like, oh, wow. He's born and raised, and he fights in the gym in St. Pete boxing.
Wow.
Like, one of the...
Yeah, I know nothing about, really, that much about fighting, but watching Mayweather as a non-boxing aficionado, definitely was not an entertaining guy to watch fight. I mean,
but he was an entertaining person, but... As a fighter, not too much. And that's what kind of people say killed boxing in a way. Like, people were mad. I'm paying $100 to watch you run, but I could pay $80 to watch a real good fight of two nobodies.
What do you like better? You like UFC or you like boxing?
Oh, I don't like UFC at all.
Really?
And
why not?
That's because I was raised on boxing. My grandfather was a boxer. Like, he loved that. So I watched it with him. Once UFC came out, I thought it was, like, cheating. Like, oh, why you got him on the floor beating him on the ground like that? And it got real bloody. And I see Wesley Silva's getting his knee, you know, his leg broken when he kicked somebody. Like, that's too much of a chance. I don't want to see gore. You know, that's too much. I've seen people's heads get swollen, but that's about it. You know, I don't really want to see somebody.
A lot of people feel like that. I find it very entertaining. I actually want to take MMA myself.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I took boxing classes, and I got ripped for a little week or two. But, I did that for a little while. Yeah, so that we had that podcast. We have this one where my man Lewis, he interviews, you know, motivated people, inspiring people, entertaining people, just people that have a vision. And I definitely know that this is going to go to the moon and back. I got Game Rage. I got four friends, including my cameraman that I met, you know, because mm-hmm. of the guy at my job. He's one of the hosts of Game Rage, and they go out there and they play video games and talk video games. I have Unlikely Geeks with me and my friend, one of my best friends, Pedro, and one of his best friends and my good friends, Tino. And we sit there and we just talk about video games and comics and everything like that. Only reason it's called Unlikely Geeks is because he's a rapper. I used to rap. Tino, you know, he mix and mingles into all of that stuff too. And you wouldn't really think that we would know so much about comics and stuff. So we're Unlikely Geeks, you know, so there's that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then my last one is the last one I can remember is, so how was work? And that's where I have two of my great friends that they talk about work all day, you know, and they tell me hilarious stories, amazing stories. And I was like, you girls just need to talk. You need a podcast. You guys just need to tell your stories because they're awesome. They don't want to tell where they work, and they don't want to give their real names because they're scared they'll lose their job.
Sure, yeah.
But so they just tell great stories, and they interview people too with different jobs. So like you will go there and talk about the job that we work at currently. You could change your name or whatever you want, but you'll go over there and tell them your story too. And that's such a great podcast. Everybody could listen to it. They're hilariously funny and all of that. And then last but not least, my spinoff of the video show that I did, you know, where I interviewed the rappers, that was called In the Streets, I-N-D-A Streets. You could watch on YouTube. There was 12 episodes, or I think 12 episodes. That spun off to We Co-Signers Radio. And now what I do is I just interview them like a regular radio show, a podcast, an hour long, just talking to the rappers. Hey, you know, why'd you start rapping? You know, this, that, whatever. And that's going to come. That's going to come real soon.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. That's a lot of good content you got coming.
Yeah. Every day I don't, you know, the earliest I get home is maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. Because after my 9 to 5, I pack everything up. I go and meet up with whoever I got to record with. And we record. I edit it. I submit it. It goes to SoundCloud. From SoundCloud, it goes to iTunes, Google Play, and all of that. All in the same
That's
day.
That's crazy, man. That's like two full-time jobs right there.
Two full-time jobs.
All right. So now I just got some rapid-fire questions.
All right.
I'm going to throw your way. Let's see what you got.
Uh-oh.
All right. First one. By the way, these aren't very original. They're good questions. so when you think of the word successful, who's the first person who comes to mind?
Successful. A lot of people come to mind. More in the entertainment business because, again, that's where my passion has been since I was 13. People like Jay-Z, like 50 Cent, you know, DJ Khaled, all these people that have multiple streams of income, multiple ways to, you know, multiple venues, they got their name out there in multiple places. You know, it's not just the music. They got the clothing lines. They got the record labels. They have, you know, the TV appearances. They're acting. They're doing this. They're doing that. All the stuff I've wanted to do, DJing, acting. I didn't even talk about when I wanted to be an actor, where I did, you know, little showcases here and there. And, you know, people that pay me, and I went to classes and did all that. That was a huge goal of mine. And I only stopped because of working my 9 to 5. I couldn't take those days off in the 90-day probation period. That's the only reason I stopped. And then from there, you know, I gained a little weight and I didn't look the same. So I needed to buy new, headshots, and I didn't want
to
pay that.
So you look up to people who got their hands on a lot of different things, much like yourself.
Who do stuff with their life. They don't just sit there. They're not, and they might not be the happiest, but they seem happy. You know, and I don't say that like I don't want to be happy, but they're working to get that happiness. Their family's happy. You know, I definitely don't know what their personal lives is, but from what they're portraying and what I've seen behind the scenes, because I watch a lot of behind the scenes and stuff, they seem like they are in a good, their trajectory is there, you know, to be that success.
You definitely don't know what's going on in somebody's head, but I mean, at least they're ambitious.
Yeah, to be they're a pursuing to things. Me, to be a success to me isn't isn't about money. It's about happiness and all that. But it's about what legacy you'll leave on. That's a success. If your legacy leaves on and precedes you, and you know when Biggie or Tupac died, how people still talk about them. Those people were successful. The way they passed wasn't the best, and you know was tragic. But they left a successful legacy. That's it. That's all I want to do is when I go, I want to have something to show. I want people to still talk. These podcasts are going to be here forever. You know, these audio files, these videos that I do, the people that I've met, that I've touched, that I've, you know, seen, that I've helped. That's all I want to do. Success to me is helping other people.
I think that's a good criteria. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Next one. What is something that you believe that other people think is insane?
That I would rather not eat or sleep, and I'd rather work. You know, getting home at 3 or 4 in the morning. You know, what I'm going to eat? McDonald's at 3 or 4 in the morning? I can't do that. So I won't eat. And then I wake up in the morning and I got to rush to work. I don't eat breakfast. So I won't eat maybe till noon, you know, when I take a lunch. And then I only eat at noon because then right after I get off of work, I'm going right to podcasting, you know, another 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, thing. So people think I'm crazy and it's unhealthy. Which it is, and apparently they have a interim diet, interim fasting. You heard about that?
Yeah. Intermittent fasting. Yeah, that's the there's word. Like three different ways to do it.
Something like that. And apparently, I've been doing it my whole life. You know, I eat one time a week. I might eat a little thing here, a little thing there. I don't feel like, I don't look like Terry Crews. This thing's a false, you know, it's fake. But
I think one way is to, I think is to do it every day where you don't eat for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's another way is to, for like, for 24 hours. Something you gotta look it up where you for like once a week for 24 hours you don't eat, and there's another way I don't know,
but that's what I've been doing my whole life. I'm working so damn hard that I don't eat one day and I don't feel like I'm fit or skinny, you know, but I guess I'm not doing it right. But yeah, people think I'm crazy for that my drive is, and I don't pick, like, people think I'm crazy for not taking vacations and for not, you know, but I'm happy, don't get me wrong. I love what I do. I love being tired. But I'm being tired for a good reason. Like, if I was sitting home watching TV all day, playing video games like I used to when I was a babe, like a kid, you know, that as an adult now, I would feel a little depressed. Like, damn, all I'm doing is playing Grand Theft Auto all day, mm-hmm. you know, or something. But the fact that I'm tired because I'm working and I have something to showcase for everything that I've done, if I'm not getting paid real money, I'm getting paid by having this audio. I'm getting paid by having, you know,
you're being productive. You're staying productive constantly. That's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next one. What purchase of $100 or less, or maybe we'll bump it up to 200, has most positively impacted your life?
That's the hardest question, because nothing that I purchase is ever $100 or $200 or less. Everything I purchase is an expensive purchase. And it's, one, because I have expensive taste, because I work so hard to receive those expensive things. But two, just because everything I freaking need is expensive. This mixer was a bunch of money. This laptop.
Okay. Well, for purposes of getting an answer, yeah, let's sure. raise it to $350.
No, no. I really don't even know. For $350, I bought my Xbox. I loved it. But No. But what's the question again?
What purchase of $350 or less has most positively impacted your life? Yeah,
see, like an Xbox doesn't positively impact me. But, man, these classes that I took for acting, I paid a couple $100 for that. That impacted me great because I learned the business. I learned, you know, how to talk to people. I used to be a DJ at 13 that wouldn't talk. So I'll just be there and just play music. Hey, don't request no music from me. Don't tell me to say happy birthday to nobody. Don't ask me to say, let's cut the cake. I'll hand you the microphone. You do it. I was that guy. And it was crazy. I'm charging $300 and I'm not even doing any of the talking. Like, that was a real hustle. But that, getting these classes, learning that I have a voice that people want to hear, that, you know, I have something to say, that I'm a good people person. I didn't know I was a people person. I didn't know I could just walk up to somebody and talk to them. Then they'd be like, who the heck are you? Like, get out of here. You know, that was my mindset. Super shy.
So what did the acting classes teach you specifically that helped you apply it to other things in your life?
Different classes. I took improv classes where now I know how to be, you know, witty with it, you know. So we played games where, you know, A, B, C, come up with a letter, have a whole story from A to Z. We did zigzag zop or whatever. Sure, other actors that will probably know what I'm talking about.
No, that's definitely a useful skill in stuff like in that. Any occupation, especially business.
Yeah, and I also learned, I took another classes. I'm not going to call out the studio that I learned it from, the school that I learned it from, just because, you know, we had a little issue there. But they were great people. But I learned, you know, self-defense classes, you know, how to fight in acting, you know, because they're not really punching each other, but you got to look like you're punching each other. So I learned from a real black belt karate guy who's a huge actor, you know, a local, and, you know, he does real commercials and stuff. Great guy. He's on my face. I think his name's Hoon Park. You know, wow. I love that guy.
Yeah. I never would have thought that's there's like
there's stuff, everything.
A skill to that.
Yeah. Monologuing, wow. You know, just talking for a long time. All that. That's great. I'm happy I said that answer. That worked for me.
What have you changed your mind on in the last few years and why?
I've changed my mind on everything. I'm a big contradiction. You know, one moment I want to do this and then I realize, hey, maybe this path right here isn't the right one, but I can still do what I'm trying to do, but do it this way. So stuff like rapping, where I stopped rapping, but I still use the same microphone that I rapped and recorded the album with to record podcasting, you know, going different ways. My current job was a huge change from my previous job where I worked with children. I was in after school care. I did all that. And I worked with children. It is currently my favorite job I've ever done. But that trajectory had to change again, because whether it was paid, I wasn't working, or it was just the time, I wanted to work more, you know, so I'm changing.
What about that job made it your favorite?
Interacting with the children, being a seed to these children that they'll never forget me. I haven't worked there in a year or two, and I've been to Walmart or Publix, and these kids run up to me, it's like, "Hey, Mr. Chris, remember me?" And that, they're like, "Oh my God, you're huge. Like, you were in second grade. You're in the fifth grade now. Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be this big no more. Like, I remember when you was this." You know, they then telling me stories. "Hey, Mr. Chris, remember when you helped me out with my homework? Remember this? Remember, I know my multiplications now," all of this. My favorite thing in the world is helping people. And it sounds cliche and it sounds, you know, whatever, but that job, I was there 4.5 years. That made me who I want to be and who I am, because I love seeing these kids grow, and I love, you know, sending them off, and they were bad children. I was the manager there. That's another thing. I was the boss. I love being a boss. You know, I like having that authority. Sure, yeah. I love, you know, being able to say, "Do it this way, not this way. I don't, you know, don't whatever." So it was everything encompassed in one. I was a boss. I trained kids. I taught kids. I learned with kids. These kids taught me things. I taught them. I saved lives. I talked to parents, you know, all this. It's amazing, bro. I love that job. And now I sit on a desk all day, but I get paid a lot more. So it's a give and you take.
It's a trade off.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. If you could go back in time and tell your 18-year-old, let's go 16-year-old self something, what would you tell him?
Don't stop rapping for that girl.
Sounds like this is a big regret in your life.
No, bro, because I was great. I could only imagine what I would have been, what I could be. But I can't rap for nothing now. Now I legit try. What I want is...
Give me a freestyle.
Yeah, I can't do that. And I really wish that I just kept that going, or that I paid to produce the stuff, because that was another thing. I'm not going to blame her entirely, because it was my choice. But one of the reasons, you know, that helped me motivate it to stop was her. But I already had that seed planted in my head because of the quality. I was never happy with the quality of my music, because I would do it on myself. And all I would do is drag and drop a song from YouTube and then press record my vocals. And I wouldn't do any editing to my vocals because I don't know how. So I would just submit it the way it was. If it sounded good in one take, it would be one take. And if it wasn't that take, if the take came out good or I would have to re-record the entire thing.
We got some good audio equipment right here, man.
Yeah.
So so whenever you're ready.
No. Let me see. It's going to have to be an old rap.
Do I need to give you a beat or something?
No, it's going to have to be an old rap. Let me see. I can't do it, man. I need a beat, and you know, we can't.
All right, next time you come on here,
yeah,
you have to rap.
Okay.
You promise?
I'll rap one of my old songs. And but again, we might be taken down from wherever this goes up, because you know,
no, don't say that.
It's copywritten.
Oh, so then no, you gotta spit some original stuff.
No, it's my lyrics are original, but the beat wouldn't be. You know, the beat would be somebody else's beat. I killed I'm Sprung. If y'all really want to hear it, then email yambomusic, YAMBOMUSIC @yahoo.com, and I will send you my CD, okay? And free of charge.
Always plugging yourself.
Again, it's business, bro. But definitely think that's something that I wish I would have kept on doing. Because all these fabulous, amazing people that I've met now, I probably would have met them before. You know, I probably would have been here years ago. You know, because my mindset's always the same. So probably would have wanted to record an audio, you know, a podcast with these people 2-3 years ago when podcasts first started. Probably would have been somewhere in sky high by now.
Yeah.
You know, so everything that's supposed to happen happens. you know, mine just happened to happen late because of what happened.
Right. So if you're, you know, 15, 16 years old, you're in high school and you're rapping or you're doing whatever it is you do, whether it's playing sports, whether it's creating your own podcast, don't stop.
The network if you want to do a podcast.
Email.
Yeah. followacode@gmail.com. followacode@gmail.com.
No, but really stay focused and girls will come and go. Yeah, girls will come and go. So, and believe me, if you ever become successful in whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to have plenty of girls come and go.
Hey.
So stay focused and keep working hard. Well, Chris, man, it's been, thank you for coming on here. It's been a good time. It's been, I learned a lot about you and stuff I didn't know. And I hope to have you again so you could definitely spit some bars.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I appreciate you, man, for wanting to do this show. Because, again, without people like you and everybody else that I mentioned beforehand, I wouldn't have nothing to showcase. I could only do so much myself, and I could only hear myself talk so much. Nobody wants to hear me talk for five different shows, you know. So having somebody,
no comment.
Having someone like you to interview other people, having someone like these girls to interview, having, you know, my friends talking about video games and all this, you know, gives me a lane to, you know, reach different people. So without you guys, I wouldn't be doing any of this. So I appreciate you. And I'll be back, of course, probably once a year or something. I want to be...
Once a year? No, more than that. Dude, this is episode one, bro. I'm still working on my guest list. By the way, if you want to come on the show, email me at...
let me get the email that we made.
I'll give him my regular email. Email me at louisvitale@yahoo.com.
There you go.
Louis, V as in victory, I-T-A-L-E. yahoo.com, and maybe I'll have you on. Maybe. So it's the first episode, hopefully more to come.
Yeah.
And looking forward to it. And by the way, I wouldn't be sitting here right now talking into a microphone if it wasn't for you. If it wasn't for you to you know, I don't want to say convince me to come on, but yeah. You know,
I'm convincing a
lot
of people.
Pitch me the idea, yeah. Buy the equipment, be the figure that you are. So thank you very much.
Yeah, man. I really want to be another person I'm inspired by is Shane Smith from Vice, the big, you know, the magazine that turned into a web series that turned into HBO Vice that turned into Viceland. That guy started from nothing and went and did all of this. And he has, I don't know, man, he's probably my biggest inspiration. I just thought of, but I'm always quoting him and talking about him because that guy is a journalist. A journalist. Like, he'll go in the middle of Iraq war or whatever and interview, you know, the Iraqis just because he wants to get their story. Like, wow. They go out there, and that's the kind of stuff I want to do, something that means something. Because that story could help. That story could showcase something that you didn't know. So that's what I want to do, and I'm doing it locally now. But one day I'll be able to get, you know, Code Network or Code TV channel or something.